Hey, it's Simple from Navi, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. The date, October 18th. 2017, the time, 7:40 exactly p.m. Central Standard Time. Man, it's been so long, you know?
It feels like it's been forever.
You don't
man.
Do one episode a week and you forget the open. This is episode 78 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. What do I normally say?
Welcome.
Welcome.
Oh, I'm here next to my Indian friend.
Yep. My Indian friend, Anuj.
That would be me.
It's a two-man show today. Brett's not with us.
Rest in peace.
Yep, he's dealing with bottom problems. So send him your tweets.
Prison does that to a man.
You can hit us up on Twitter, speaking of tweets, at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. Friendly reminder, we did team up with another hosting company, so you might see ads now at the start of the podcast. If you listen, great. If you skip them, great. That's the easiest way to support us, to make sure we live on into perpetuity. And, you know, I think we have the best show we've ever done. Not only because Brett's not here, but we put a lot of hard work into it. Episode 78, again, we will always end the show with E-News, kind of our weekly segment of just fun stories to get to. We want to take a trip down memory lane. The early land days, the OG days.
I'm excited about that segment.
What made us want to do the podcast in the first place, right?
Yeah, what got us interested in esports.
So we'll talk about our younger days, our youth. But to start the show, let's talk about some of the... Which, to be honest, I would if you told me 2 weeks ago, the last time we did an episode, that we would be talking about the minor qualifiers for the E-League major coming up next January.
Not even the minor. The qualifiers to get to the minors.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's right. The qualifiers to get
to... The minor, minor.
To get to a qualifier that would get you to the qualifier.
This is like lower than the NBA D-League kind of stuff, you know, like the best teams advance here.
I would have laughed at you if you said, hey, let's talk about this. But sure enough, Counter-Strike finds a way to wiggle its way into every episode, because there's just so much, there, I don't even want to say this is drama, because I feel like this is a pretty one-sided argument. This is more so me just venting that we even have to talk about it.
This is almost a salt mine kind of segment.
It is, but in order to be really salty, I feel like there has to be someone on the other end of the spectrum. Right?
That feels differently.
That feels differently to call you salty. Here, there's nothing. For those who maybe haven't paid attention, because to be honest, I was not paying attention until all this appeared on the subreddit. There was a... I wouldn't say a massive wave, but there was an influx of cheaters in these qualifiers, especially on the EU side. For what we know, exclusively on the EU side. Three players have been banned. You're going to have to help me out on how to say some of these.
Your guess is going to be as good as mine, but okay, we can go for it.
All right. Kurz?
Kurz or Kurzy?
Kurzy.
From Team Optimistic.
Team Optimistic. He was banned. Sio Cardiu?
Sure.
Dude, I have no idea. From Invictus. And then Soda.
Now, Soda is the one of the three that had a previous SIVO ban.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of irks me. So these were used on SIVO servers. That's who E-League is using for the major. Not their first time. Okay, this is...
No, SIVO's been around for a long
honestly,
time.
And honestly, I know people are like, why are they using SIVO? First off, okay, I'm not going to slap SIVO's hand on this because their client worked, right? People are saying, like, I can't believe SIVO is allowing hackers... Well, hold up, because some of these, the actual client caught, Kurz or Kurzy, he was banned by the anti-cheat system yeah. that SIVO uses. Okay, so that works. It's not SIVO's fault someone was cheating. I can't believe that someone was cheating in a major qualifier.
I'm not surprised that people tried to cheat. What I'm surprised they didn't uphold previous bans, right?
That's
or
what irks me.
They didn't use anything of like they didn't like uphold ESEA bans if there was any ESEA bans. They just kind of like gave everyone a fresh slate and it was like, let's just see what happens here, right? And it caused a lot of issues. It caused not only did it cause issues within the game, but then it caused like massive delays because the admins didn't make some of these bans didn't get caught until like the final round of the match, right?
And that's the issue where it would be where I think it was Dignitas tweeted out stating that like it was round 14 on the second map or whatever, and then all of a sudden they banned them. And they were like, why did we just waste like 2 hours of our lives doing this when we all knew he was banning or he was cheating? And you have video evidence of like Soda was talking smack to another team like during warm up in open mic. And they basically the other team was calling him out saying, hey, do you have your demo ready? Like, better get your demo ready because you're going to have to prove to people that you weren't hacking.
Yeah.
And then no joke, later that same map, that same match, who gets auto-kicked for cheating? Soda. The guy who was just not 20 minutes earlier defending himself, saying, no, you just suck.
And SIVO was like, we have to give everyone a fair chance, like, see if they can, you know, see if maybe they're not hacking. It just caused such a, like, just such a mess. You had so many, like, Dignitas ended up playing, I believe they said, 12 matches that day? 10, 12 matches, or like two BO3s and a best of one, and like another, I think another best of one. So around 10 matches in one day of playing, and they got eliminated. And a lot of that is fatigue. I mean, imagine playing even in your comfort of your own home.
It's fatigue and mental distress, right?
Yeah.
Like, it has to be distracting knowing that you're playing a match, knowing that maybe the last two matches, there were three people cheating that have been banned out throughout the day, and now you're playing this other match. Well, where is your mind instantly going to go when, and I'm not saying anyone from like Dignitas or any of these top tier or, you know, more well-known,
but it's probably
teams.
Tilting them to know somebody could be cheating on
exactly.
the other team, right?
Exactly. I mean, this is a dark cloud that Counter-Strike did not need. Valve did not need this to lead up to the major, especially where, and we'll talk about this in a later episode, not in this one, but people's confidence in Valve and how they handle Counter-Strike is on the fence, right? It's shaky. And now you have this major, this qualifier for the qualifier for the qualifier.
For your biggest event, which you only hold twice a year, how are you not prepared? How do you not have this all lined up and straightened
Again,
out? And it's because Soda everything is done.
Soda was previously banned before.
On the SIVO client, okay? Like, on their own client.
And we're talking, people, we're talking about the same company, Valve, that refuses to let iBuyPower play in any of their tournaments. We're talking about a company that is refusing from 2 years ago now, 3 years ago, not allowing iBuyPower players to play in their tournaments for fixing one known match.
In a pretty useless situation.
Not cheating.
Yeah.
Fixing. And I bring that up because personally for me, I feel like you can fix and then you can kind of say, hey, they were like 17, 18 at the time. They needed money. They were stupid. Let's move on. Cheating, though, is different for me because it normally, like, and don't ask, I really can't justify why, but I feel like once you cheated, like if you were caught aim hacking or anything like that, wall hacking in a professional match, that should probably, if not weigh more, at the very least, in Valve's eyes, weigh the same as, hey, no, you cannot play in our qualifier.
That's where I'm at on it. I would put them in the exact same category as one another. I don't see them any differently because they both affect, at the end of the day, the integrity of the game, right?
Right.
And one way you're trying to change it in your favor to win, and in the other sense, you're throwing it, which again gives false hope to fans of that team. I mean, there's just so many things you're just throwing away by doing either
right.
one of them, right? And to think, you know, iBuyPower situation to me is a little different. It was very unstructured back then. Like you said, they were young. They weren't making any money. I do put a little bit more forgiveness on them.
I
now,
feel
had
like
that
the
be
public
done now,
forgives.
Yeah,
forgives.
If
them.
You do that now, it's a problem, right? Because now there's so much money.
Well,
invested.
There's examples.
Yeah,
you've had an example set.
And then with cheating, I don't know how you have the guts to try it. Like, why
Dude,
even in this type of situation? Like, how do you have the balls?
You
to
look
really
at Twitch chat, and like everyone in Twitch chat is even saying like. Not, nope, not legit, game sense.
Twitch chat, half of it is like they're yelling VAC anyway, but
right.
people
but
are always looking.
Though, you have
they're always
20,000 people watching you
yeah.
play. These observers, you can even tell like some of the phrasing that they're used. We're like, oh, the amazing game sense, did you see it? But you almost hear it in the there's a tone in their voice where they're like, what was that?
A little bit of sarcasm
yeah,
to it,
like,
right?
Oh, that was a.
It's rough, and it sucks for CEO Cardew, however we want to pronounce his name, because he was the only manual ban. So they actually played that match, went and reviewed the tape after, and based on a couple of, it's called in the game. It's you know for those of you that don't play, when people are generally aiming from one person to another, there's like a smoothness to it, right? Like it's kind of, for them, it's moving from A to point B kind of in a straight line. In his movement, it was very like jerky.
You call it snapping. He would snap to people's heads.
A snapper, like, but it was like Twitch shooting. So if you've seen a player named Sub Rosa, you've seen a lot of his clips online. It's just very like jittery and shaky, and that's not really normal style of play. Mm-hmm. But they gave him a manual ban off of that. I think that's too hard to do. You need to increase your anti, you know, your anti cheat detection.
You know, we called it back in the day, the ogre twitch from Halo.
The ogre twitch. If that helps you know
if,
what we're talking about.
If you have any original like Halo 2, Halo 1 fans in here, it's the ogre twitch that people always called the ogre twins for hacking.
Well, they banned him essentially on suspicion of it. But after looking at it, I watched it myself. I know several pros watched it. They all felt like for him and the team made a really good statement. I thought their statement on Twitter.
They're the only ones where the team came out
and defended the player.
And defended the player, yeah. Saying this is not right. We're going to fight this now. Ballsy by Invictus first to go and fight for your team or you know for your players.
You have to be pretty
there's
confident.
Always that chance, right? You yeah. have to be willing to put you not only you're putting your entire org's
reputation
on the line,
yeah,
but then. In this case here, I guess what is the end goal for them just to say sorry? Because at this point, I don't know who ran. I guess is it E-League's ruling? Was it SIVO's ruling on how they're handling
SIVO
this?
Admins are the ones that
okay.
made the decision.
Okay,
on it.
So SIVO has already they've disqualified those teams and basically
it's all moved on. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
At this point,
it's just to say it's to earn your
a feel better for yourself
right.
at the end of the day, right? You're not going to be able to get back in. They're probably not going to do some sort of wild card. So yeah,
it's done. It just I
they
could
still
see,
are going to the minors. The minors haven't been played, but I don't know exactly when that match was in the minors. So
the
if
manual,
it was,
I have an issue with the manual ban, and I agree. I mean, if you're banning. Good riddance. Okay. I won't put that disclaimer on here. But the manual ban, the thing that I have an issue with is we've seen these admins. Half of them are volunteers.
Yeah.
Right? You've heard stories of admins accidentally unplugging computers or not knowing how to set them up or anything like that. These admins are not like what you would consider trained.
They're not top tier ex-pros, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So what are these admins' credentials in watching this guy's movement? Especially in the back of their mind where you've already seen two players banned
yeah.
from the system. So in the back of your mind, you're like, okay,
there's cheaters here. Somebody's
cheaters
cheating.
Cheaters are here.
Yeah.
We have cheaters in this tournament. People are doing it. Okay, this guy looks a little fishy, and people are yelling at me in the background saying he's cheating. Yeah, you're cheated. You're gone. And it's, I don't like the fact that the admins can be judge, jury, and executioner in this sense where it's like, well, what's your reasoning?
That needs to, like, I just feel like you have to get caught by the client unless it's blatantly obvious. And in his
right.
case, it really wasn't. So, like, even the plays that they had under review,
or you
at
know
most,
what?
Are somewhat questionable. But, hey, they're good players. They can make some of these
and
plays, too.
I understand that this is on SIVO, right? Valve delegates the majors to E-League. E-League delegates the qualifiers to SIVO.
Yeah.
I get that power, you know, whatever you call it, the power tree there. But eventually, you got to call your boss. Put in the phone call. SIVO should have called E-League And maybe they did. I don't know. But in this case scenario with the before the manual ban, call E-League up and be like, what do you want us to do here? Or and then E-League should call Valve. And Valve, I'm not saying to call Gaben, okay? But Valve should have someone in charge of the Counter-Strike eSports commissioner.
Valve should also have a better anti-vax system where they could use their own
and
servers in the situation.
To go to a third party.
They could also have like 128 tick. I think Valve is clueless when it comes to this. So they just choose not to take part. For them, even bidding for majors, which we discussed on this show before, is really just like, hey, who's going to give us the most money? Okay, now go make it work out. Like,
well, and we've discussed on the show, the way Valve handles these majors
is simply
a
joke. It's a joke to begin with.
And I have issues blaming SIVO or E-League for like, oh, how could you know this? Well, how could you not get this ready? Probably because they found out the same time they got the major, roughly at the same time we did.
Yeah.
Like,
and the problem is you have to set all of this up in a short period of time, right? You have, in this case, I think there's qualifiers going up until about 2 weeks prior to the event.
To give you an idea, listener, we are in the works of trying to plan our trip to see if we're going to go to the Boston Major in January now. And we're just going to be observers. We're going to go there to cover it for the podcast. We're not competing. We're not qualifying. There's no visas that we have to figure out. So imagine if the tickets are going on sale, I think like next week or maybe in November. Maybe I'm wrong. But they're going on sale relatively soon. That's just so normal spectators can make their travel arrangements.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you're an organization who has to not only compete to see if you even qualify.
You're worried
and
about.
Then you're buying your tickets.
Well, you're focusing on winning your upcoming games to get a chance to qualify. Then on top of that, you have a team manager of some sorts that is probably working on visa issues at the same time, bugging these players for information that's needed. And that's why you see some of these visas not either get accepted or qualify on time because everything is so ill-planned. And it is showing here in the very first stages of the qualification round. So it's just a little embarrassing. You know, it was just something we wanted to bring up and kind of go over because you don't see this in like some of the biggest games. You shouldn't see this. Maybe I shouldn't say you don't, but you shouldn't. In FPSs, it's notoriously bad for cheating in general, but it's like, you know, this is a multi-million dollar, billion dollar industry at this point. Stuff like this can't happen.
And again, I have an issue yelling at SIVO or E-League on this. I'm going to go to the top and I'm going to yell at Valve saying, you guys need to delegate this. There needs to be someone at Valve to speak up on this. I shouldn't always have to wait to hear from Gaben, right? I shouldn't always have to wait to hear from... and even the developers. And when I say developers, I mean the actual people coding the game.
Yeah.
I don't care what you have to say. Give me a spokesperson. Give me someone, a face that I can look at. And get answers from.
Like the position that Launders applied for.
Right.
I believe it was like community manager or something, you know.
Whatever
like that.
Happened to that.
But somebody like that I feel like would be perfect for a role like that to communicate with the fans
well, you
and the players.
Someone that the scene respects, which I think
and
Launders is second to none in that
also
sense.
Qualified to play the game at a certain level, right? Like I don't feel like your community manager should be total crap at the game. Like
right.
He won't be maybe necessarily pushing for the same things that a high-level player would be wanting in the game or doesn't understand it from their viewpoint. Launders meets that criteria.
And
they
chose
to not even respond to him, I feel.
No,
at least nothing publicly when
publicly,
he was so
right.
public
I mean,
about it.
He could be interviewing for it right now for all we know. But I also feel like for a community manager, especially with this sense, you need someone who is a fan of the game and wants to see it succeed, but also someone who can also give the middle finger to Valve and be like, you dropped the ball on this, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna pick up the pieces. I'm gonna make you look good, but I want you to know that this is why I'm here. This is what we have to work on.
With the little time that we spent with him over that weekend at ESL, like just so y'all know, we had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with these guys in the press room over there. We got to hang out with him literally all weekend, him and his crew, because there's only like six groups
in
there.
Not a big group.
And just talking with him, you can tell like, man, the dude has a passion for the game. He understands the players just by the way he was communicating with them, how well he knew them. You need somebody to be a face for this game to help you relay the message to us and vice versa. And Man, Valve just so off. They're just so off, dude.
The shame of this, too, is going into it, and whether it becomes a meme and people are joking about it or not, the shame is now any, even top tier, but even like lower tier team that breaks through or any player that breaks through.
Everyone's a suspect.
Everyone's a suspect. Yeah. Everyone is going to have every demo just picked apart to look for that one suspicious move.
That's why setting that manual ban was setting like a bad precedent in my mind, because...
Well, I feel like that was a torch and pickfork. My God, that's a hard phrase. Ban. I feel like that was a mob ban.
Yeah. People wanted somebody's head, and they basically right. got it there.
But other big news coming out of that qualifier, you had some big EU teams not qualify. Heroic being one, which was odd because I felt like they were kind of on
the up and up.
Wow,
dude, you started with Heroic.
Well, I just want to save...
and then you started with Heroic.
I just want to save the worst for last here. You said LC...
LDLC.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, you're acting like there's some tiny organization, Tim. These guys are...
They haven't been a big organization since...
They're a pretty solid tier one and a half team, though. They're like a good...
Tier two at best.
All right, tier two.
And then a tier three team, Ninjas in Pajamas.
Killing me.
Failed to qualify again. Isn't this the second major in a row?
Second, third? I don't even know. It's been a long time since we've seen them.
And it just,
you know what sucks, though? They're playing well, and they're beating good teams.
I know.
Like, they're, like, doing
here,
well, and they're,
and
like,
have
I think...
Get Right's Twitter was just heart...
Oh,
just
my
rips
gosh,
your heart
dude.
Out.
Like, in ESL Pro League, I think they're right now in playoff contention to go to the LAN finals for it. And here they go, just losing against, like, no names in bad fashion. I mean, it's so disappointing for them to... make the changes that they've made. I mean, hell, they should have kept Freiburg, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're not going to make the major, you might as well kept a popular face on the team. So
I mean, already you're just seeing a major disappointment on the EU side. For NA, nothing huge. Immortals didn't qualify, but with, I mean...
It's not the Immortals that we know.
I was going to say, right. Don't look at that as being the runner-up of last major. That roster's
a topic
in shambles
for another time, because we could go into that a little bit too.
Yeah, Rogue didn't make it. Misfits didn't make it.
Wait, Misfits in a three-way tie right now.
Are they?
Yeah, okay. Misfits is not out. I believe Misfits
according
is in
according to this image, they're out. But we'll see.
Sean Gears tweeted something. I think he tweeted something that they're in a three-way tie right now.
All right, well, we'll see. Maybe the image was not fully up to date.
That wasn't put out by Valve anyway.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that, and let's
but again,
see if...
big names from the EU side, yeah. Bigger names to come, because everybody that's left on the EU side is a player, and so yeah, you're gonna see a lot of good teams not make the major this time around.
Agreed. I want to switch gears here though with you, Anuj, for a second. Step away from the pro scene. Step away from the hacking, the cheating, the drama. And get back to our roots. We kind of been toying around with this idea, and we thought it sounded kind of fun for the listeners. I'd actually even love to hear from the listeners here. Send us an email. You can go through our website, tcr.gg, or on our Twitter, at the Center Ring. But I want to talk about like our old LAN days, right? Not only just like competitively wise, but
the
just...
innocent fun,
yes,
LAN days.
The innocent fun where you and your friends just got together... for the sake of competitive gaming. At its core, that's where all this started, was, you know, you getting mom's permission to bring your computer over.
You didn't need a game to label itself an e-sport to think you were in a competitive match,
right?
Like, they didn't have to tell me that this is an e-sport game. We made games competitive regardless of what it was.
And for your small little world, which was maybe 10, 15 friends... you were the best players in the world, right?
If you were the best in the group also, you felt like the king of the
you
world.
Were a god.
You didn't need to be better than anybody else online.
You were...
But amongst your friends, that was everything.
A god among your friends. Even talked about in school. I remember people knowing me in my high school because I was really good at Halo. And like... I made friends with people I probably would never become friends with, because at my house, we had a loft. Fancy, I know. But we had a loft, and we would hold
It's like a four-story house,
we
guys.
Would have LAN tournaments there. So it'd be like 16 dudes coming over, and we would have LAN tournaments and just...
That was like your space.
I mean, you name it, Halo, Rainbow Six, which is what we actually went, quote-unquote, pro in, and Super Smash Brothers, you name it, we land it.
That was when the console days of LANs were a lot of fun, too, you know? Because we used to do Smash back in the day. Mm-hmm. We used to play games like... Man, what was it? We're one of you, a Gauntlet Legends.
Yep.
You know, we used to do things like that. And then,
even non-competitive games, right? You would play them.
It's just fun.
I think, so oddly enough.
The LAN's always at your house? Were you like that guy? Is it always at your house?
Always at my house. I never traveled, which was beautiful.
Even like when y'all went to PCs eventually?
Well, so I had the bigger home.
Yeah.
I had the bigger home. We had the pool, you know.
Tim's white, for those of you that don't know.
You know. I'm privileged,
obviously.
So cops would never come to my house
ever.
It was great.
If they did, it was to drop off candy, right? Baseball cards.
You guys okay in here? Just want to make sure everything's okay. No one's bothering you, okay? So the LAN was always at my house, and we even had it to where so my loft was pretty much good for. You could fit people all the way around the edges. And then we would have some TVs and stuff in the middle.
In the middle,
you could probably fit at the time, because we were, you know, 14, 15, anywhere ranging from, like, we did this from basically age 14 to probably onward, about 18 and up before we started moving out. But you could probably fit 16 people in there comfortably.
Jeez.
You know, it would get hot.
It's a lot of people, though.
Probably at the time you didn't smell it, but I'm sure it probably had a funk to it. But we would hold a lot of console tournaments. I never really started PC LANing for a while, really up until like adulthood, mainly because my friends did not have PCs.
Yeah.
It was just Xbox was the thing. So we play Halo, and that's what I gamed on. Halo was the game.
Yeah.
Even back in the day,
Halo kind of started that competitive. Esports scene.
Especially for, like, kids my age.
Yeah.
You know, I understand Counter-Strike's been around, and that had its rightful place, but I'm telling you, kids my age, Halo...
I shouldn't Halo say it started. I should say it helped grow the scene at a significantly faster rate.
It's what made
it
you think of something in a competitive sense.
Yeah.
Especially, like, with Halo CE. You know, like, Halo 1, that was before Xbox Live was even around. So the only way you could play with people... was to bring your friends over, and unless you wanted to quad split screen it the whole night, no, get your TV, get your piece or get your Xbox,
monitor,
bring it over,
whatever,
and we're gonna play.
Get your CRT over to the house and let's go.
It also helped that I had two brothers growing up who had their own Xboxes, who had their own TVs. So right there, I mean, that's three.
You could already have like a pretty good setup going.
Three Xboxes, three TVs. Your friends would come over,
and you're the middle age, right?
Yeah. And we would get competitive. We would have friends that would be like our coach.
Who is better, you or Anthony?
Is that even a question?
I just want you to say it.
My older brother, Anthony, he'll even tell you, dude. I was always the best.
What about with your younger brother?
Admittingly so. We never really allowed him to play with us.
Damn,
looking back on it,
dude.
Kind of wish we did. But he was, you know, he was big in StarCraft and still is.
And he's like really good at StarCraft, isn't he?
Yeah. He never really got into the FPS mode. Probably partially because... I don't know.
He had no friends because of you.
I don't know if you know this, Anuj. I'm a competitive guy.
Are you?
When I play games, even for fun, I get...
That's what they changed the word toxic to recently?
Yeah, that's right. Some say toxic, some say competitive. I'm a competitive guy. I like to win, you know? I'm a hard worker. And so that, I think, deterred a lot of people. But no, I mean, when we played, I was always... I don't want to toot my own horn. I was one of the better ones. And I remember my first competitive LAN it had to have been MLG 05 or 06.
Are those the pictures you sent me?
No, those are 07. So that was Rainbow Six days.
Skinny days.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? You're looking good.
It was my hippie days. And so 05, I think I was 15. Had to have been when we did it. And they had it in Frisco, back when nothing was in Frisco.
Frisco was empty.
Dude, it felt like it was hours away.
Yeah.
And so Brandon and I, the original host of TCR for you longtime listeners, we went to go to MLG. We were like, never really heard of it. You know, we We like Halo. They had Smash there.
Let's go see what it is.
Let's go check it out. Let's go compete. Because we were kind of the better two of our group.
Yeah.
So we were like, let's go do free-for-all. We didn't have a team, so at the time, they still did free-for-all tournaments. And we ended up rooming with some of the admins there, some of the judges, because we were friends with them just from the online community. And I ended up we ended up sleeping in their room, which was not allowed, because their room was free and paid for by MLG, and we ended up mooching off of it. Thanks, MLG.
Appreciate that.
I ended up sleeping underneath a coffee table.
Just to have a spot.
On the floor. Yeah. No blanket, no pillow. It just, look, I won't be in your way. I'll sleep underneath
Give
the
me
coffee
this spot.
Table. This is perfect.
I don't want to drive back, trust me.
No.
You were in Keller at that time too, right?
And I couldn't even drive
it's
at
like
the time.
It's like a 14-hour drive for those of you that don't know.
Brandon drove. So that's what we did. And that's after a night of landing. And I remember I was like 15 years old. I played with all these MLG guys. Some pros were in the room playing old Halo. And again, this was before like you knew all the callouts, because your callouts revolved around your 8 friends that you would land with.
Yep.
There was no universal callouts for these
things.
You
couldn't like go online and just Google it or pull up Reddit to find like a callout sheet. It was like kind of what you wanted
dude,
it to be.
And I remember this dude was laying into me because he was like, oh, they're at, you know, whatever.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they're at blah, blah, blah. They're at, you know, car two. I'm like, brah, I got nothing. I got nothing. Car two. Oh, you mean the blue room? Yeah, we just call that the blue room, man. I don't know what you're. And it was fun, but it was a wake up call to be like, oh,
this is how it is.
Oh, damn. There's a way to this competitive gaming. And from there, though, I was hooked. I did not win. I actually didn't even make it out of the first round of free-for-all. I can remember to this day, it was on midship, Halo 2. It was the top 8 of the 16 went on. I was right on the cusp, the game was about to be over. The dude on the same TV as me, because it was split screen, threw a sticky grenade up to a guy running into car 2.
And got it?
Got him.
You mean blue room?
Yeah, in blue room. The guy who he stuck ended up went to go melee someone, got a double kill, and he overtook me
at
the last second.
That's it.
And that was
it's like
that
losing
was
my, to a royal flush, my, man. What are you supposed to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, like I just was like, well, GG.
My first LAN experience. So there's two different types of LANs, right? I had
well,
used to have it with my
there's
friend.
The competitive and yep. then the friends. Me and my
so
friends always.
I'll work off of
chill.
Your competitive and then go back just to the first type of LAN. For our first competitive LAN, and I really, to be honest with you, we did like maybe 4 or 5 in my lifetime. So it's not like I have
yeah, we
a ton
only,
of experience.
So I only did MLG Dallas.
And ours was always for Counter-Strike. It was always for Counter-Strike.
See,
it's the only game.
It up.
Yeah, I mean, it was always CS back from beta. You know, we played beta release of CS. That's when the ops had like a crosshair on them and you could run around and no-scope
right.
that way. And so it was same group of people, me, Ronnie, and Kumar, we always had 3, and then found 2 fill-ins, either online, through the community, whatever, right? So
the fill-ins just never lived up to the potential you wanted them
no,
to.
No, in our first LAN that we went to, we had 4 that we knew, and then 1 that we didn't, like, know, but mm-hmm. we knew from online, right? So the night before to do strats, we had everyone come and sleep over at my house. We never did the LANs in my house, but the night before, we're like, let's all just meet at my house.
Now, for your strats, so when we played Rainbow Six competitively, we would have binders with the maps in them.
This is where it gets good.
Okay.
This is where it gets
we
good.
We were
this is where I was going
really
with this.
So real about it.
We moved the computer into my room. We had all 4 of us sitting on my bed, sitting at the edge of the bed. I had pulled open Microsoft Paint.
Nice.
And the night before, I had drawn out the maps on Paint. And what we would do is then, kind of like you see now, we would, you know, click an X on a spot and be like, this is where you're going to throw this flash.
Everything back then was so manual driven, right? Now you can go to websites and like pull up a map of Dust and put fancy images.
Our Dust drawings, I still remember them. We just did boxes as like a general layout,
yep.
right? Of this is what Dust looks like.
We all know what it looks like.
We all know what it looks like, but to draw it out so we could like visualize what we were going to do the next
day. And
how
old were you?
I must have been 15 because Ronnie was the only driver in the group. And Ronnie's like 9 months older than me.
Okay.
So Ronnie was our driver. It was a CompUSA Open. And at that time, it was such a big deal because CompUSA was willing to give out like free equipment. They were willing to give out a sponsorship if you won their tournament, and it was like just an open entry, right? So we signed up. We went down there the next day. It was out in Louisville back then, which even thinking of it now is like so close, but it felt like it was like
felt
so far. And we get out there, and of all the teams that are out there, there's one group, and we've talked about this before, that we recognized right off the bat. It was Team 3D was out there. They had 3 out of their 5 players who were based in Dallas were on the team, plus 2 pugs that they had brought along with them. We were fortunate enough to advance to the finals in this tournament and get completely dominated by them. We had a 16... We say 16-4. It could have even been a little less than that. 16-3, 16-2, maybe even 16-1. Got dominated. Just got dominated. But I still remember Rambo coming up to us and showing us how to do binds on our computer. And, like, we were the only two in this room on the end of the finals. So many people had left. He didn't stay around. There weren't big TVs.
And you didn't care to watch
guys. No, and there wasn't a TV to sit there and spectate, you know? Like, people would literally huddle into the room and watch over your shoulder. And they showed us how to set binds. At that point, Ronnie was still using the arrow keys to move in CS. And they're like, no, you should always do like WASD. So that was like,
how did you guys make it to the finals?
You know, we were really good, just raw aimers.
Right.
But we had no game sense.
So that was always, so when you were starting out, right? You brought up like the fill-ins, right? Growing up, it was always me. I was always, and I'm not even gonna lie, I was always the best one out of our group of friends. And I think any of them would tell you that I was typically the better one.
Yeah.
Then our buddy TJ, and then Donut. But Donut lived in New Jersey, and at that time,
he weren't flying
no
back
way
and forth.
Is no. He gonna be flying back and forth to do Mom, Dad, I'm gonna go do a video game tournament. Yeah. You cool with that? No, that ain't gonna happen. So it was always me and TJ, and we always kinda had to get roundups. Our first dive into Rainbow Six, which was the game that we really grasped on, and we're like, okay, we can do this game. Like,
yeah.
We're not behind the curve. We've been playing it. We already are friends with pros just from online tournaments and stuff. We got this. So we got our friends. That was a 4-on-4 game. We got our friend Bus Boom and Matt to go play with us on this, our very first MLG 07. Terrible. They were both so bad at the game. They didn't have the drive. They didn't understand the competitive thing. I think they just thought we were going to go and play,
have a good time.
So it was terrible. We ended up though winning our first 2 matches, I think, and then just got smoked. But it was enough to earn some points. And so MLG 08, we were like, okay, we're ditching Bus Boom and Matt. They'll understand they're our friends and they suck. So we got Brandon, who did the show with us, and we met this chick on the MLG forums, which back in the day, MLG used to have the best forums online. Like, you could go and talk about esports, competitive.
Now I hate even using
Halo.
The site to watch COD.
Yes, I don't know what happened to him, but man, that MLG used to be the place to go to talk about Halo or anything, dude. It was great. But we met this, and that's where you would find teammates. And we met this chick, Jessie. Fluffy Hell Kitty was her name. I don't even talk to her anymore. I wish we kept the friendship, but she was like, yeah, I'll play with you guys. Who cares? And we were like, a chick on our team, like, sponsorship's done.
Game
like,
over.
It's done. This is all we needed.
Me
and,
too.
And never got the sponsorship, but we ended up doing well in the tournament. And I remember the very first... So we were winning. It was double eliminations. We got into the loser bracket final, and we beat this team called Angry or Mother Truckers, who we actually
classic.
Beat the previous year.
And back
before.
Then, that was a fresh name, right?
Oh, that was
like original. A fresh name.
Our team name was Operation Minty Hippo. That was our.
I still question it till this day when I see it.
That was our name there. So if you ever see, because sometimes we'll still flash it out of respect. So we'll say Operation Minty Hippo or OMH. That's what it is. And I remember in this double elimination, where this was bottom, you know, this was the elimination match, and we dominated them. And one of them accidentally TK'd someone. And, dude, I was that kid, 16, or this was 07. I was either 16 or 17, depending on when it was in the year. I stood up because, you know, the TVs were back-to-back.
Right next to each other.
Right. I stood up, and I talked so much smack. I was yelling at these dudes that were probably a good 5 or 6 years older than me at the time.
Thinking nothing would happen until you walk outside.
Dude, I was like, tape kill? What? What? And we ended up winning, got a good placement. We actually earned enough pro points to be considered semi-pro.
Yeah.
Which I call professional.
Still good enough. Close enough,
no
right?
One's going to ask, right? No. But you could actually Google MLG Operation Minty Hippo, and we'll pop up one of their old archived pages.
Unfortunately, CompUSA doesn't even exist anymore.
No, so. That was our first actual time where we were like,
did y'all used to go to LAN centers at all?
We're pros. There was none around here at the time. My house was the LAN center. Like, we would seriously have like 20 dudes at my house to play Halo. And I remember with Halo, it was our team always played, and my friends hated it because we would know all the callouts. We had our buddy who was our coach. He would have a clipboard, and in old Halo days, and maybe this is still the case, I haven't played Halo in forever, you could time all the weapons out. So if you communicated enough, saying, hey, sniper rifle's out of ammo, I'm dropping it now, you would start the timer, and 5 minutes later, you knew, or, you know, whatever,
this is when it's going to come back up.
It's going to respawn, yeah. So let's move for the map control there.
Yeah.
And that was awesome, because that was like, dude, this is actual strategy.
This is how we're playing.
This is map control.
Yeah.
And your coach would have a clipboard with all the times listed out and a timer. He would have like 3 timers.
Could tell you like.
And the second you go, he would have 1 timer labeled sniper rifle, shotgun, rocket launcher.
So you knew where to go on
the
map.
Timer.
Yeah.
And your coach actually was that extra guy to help out with all that.
That valve is not alone.
Which I think is one of the reasons why I have such a close attachment with why coaches are a necessity. Because back in the day with Halo, you needed your coach to be that guy, to be like, all right, shift map control, go towards the sniper.
See, for us, I know in our group, starting off on Counter-Strike, Ronnie was our best player, which is like surprising looking at it now because Ronnie just doesn't play Counter-Strike at all.
Ronnie was also the guy where when we were competing at DreamHack, he didn't know where Pit was on Nuke, and we were what?
I wanted to beat him for that because for those of you that don't know, Nuke is one of the original CS maps.
Yes.
That part of the map has not really changed a whole lot. It's like always been there. So, but he just doesn't play much anymore. But I was always our IGL for us, which is funny because I tried to do that for us at DreamHack, failed miserably there. But
maybe
I was the one that
fault.
I was the one that used
maybe
to.
It's your fault.
We used to make finals back in the day. Okay, we were playing good teams back then. But yeah, I used to do all that stuff for us. And thinking back, like, man, a coach would have been like so nice just to have somebody doing the legwork on some of that stuff to put it together. Did y'all do like RTSs or anything in it? I guess you didn't. You said you didn't do PC LANs until you were older.
So
right?
Honestly, you know what got us into PC LANs? That got all my friends wanting to buy PCs, and they ended up doing it.
Yeah.
Was WoW.
Okay.
So we would do WoW LAN parties.
Yeah.
Where we would marathon it, and I mean that's normal. But we would do PvP. Then Arena started, and we had friends, dude, that were so good at Arena WoW.
We did that also. One of our buddies, we were fortunate, Tom, haven't talked to him in a while, so if you ever listen to this, Tom, find me. But his dad used to be a huge gamer himself.
Mm-hmm.
So their study room was set up with like 4 or 5 PCs, and I know it must have been 5 because we could all go over there and play. His dad built them all out, and the whole loft, but the game room, or whatever, was a little LAN center. So we used to play a lot of WoW there, but we started off with Command and Conquer.
Rise of Nations was huge.
We went to Age of Empires. We started off with all RTSs, like, growing up.
Really?
I guess that's kind of, I mean, we played, like, Rainbow Six a little bit back in the
Starcraft
day.
I played StarCraft 2.
But original Rainbow Six. I don't think that's the one that y'all were playing.
No, we did
to,
Rainbow
like,
Vegas.
Yeah, we did, like,
Vegas
the very first
right.
edition of Rainbow Six is our first FPS that we played and went to tribes and all that, but man, it brings
Unreal.
Back so many
Unreal tournament.
Yeah,
that
Unreal.
Was a big one.
But we PC gamed at a super young age.
Right.
Like when we were first able to do it, Kamar's dad worked for Tandy, so he got a computer for him early on. My dad used to own a shop where they would build they would basically sell out PC parts and all that back then. So I had a PC at a young age. And then Ronnie did child labor. He worked when he was like 12, I'm pretty sure.
That's not surprising.
Carts at Albertsons, I'm pretty sure. So he built a computer at a young age. But
is that where he met his wife? Chinese labor?
The workforce.
The workforce.
The workforce. No, yeah, so.
I remember, I probably didn't get into PC gaming as far as LAN party wise goes. Probably until about 16, 17. I mean, you know, kind of right when WoW really picked up. We started playing vanilla. But at the same time, dude, like we played with pros, like we did normal scheduled scrims in Rainbow.
Yeah.
So like when we started going pro in Rainbow, that's kind of when my actual for fun LAN party stopped, because my friends would want to play Halo and I'm like, dude, it's Saturday night.
I
got a scrim.
Do you ever go to CPL?
No.
To go play or just watch even?
No.
We used to go to CPL with spectators. It used to be at the Renaissance, and they used to do it, I think, the Hyatt Regency. One of the, I know.
Well, the Hilton Anatole is where MLG used to be after they left Frisco.
That was awesome, because you got to go watch like the real pros play, yeah. You know, and you could see like some. And then that's where CS started to make Dallas like the mecca of esports, was that. We used to play like, I remember the Cal leagues. Mm-hmm. I wish Cal was still a thing, because those were awesome, but we were playing in Cal
and that was the
then.
Only downside to like Halo and Rainbow Six. We used to play, so there was a game that cross-platform between PC and Xbox, and it's the only FPS that I know of that Xbox dominated. Like, you knew who was on PC because they would be so bad, and we would laugh at them.
Did you ever use IRC?
Yeah. Well, that's how you played Halo online.
First to find
Halo.
People on there.
That's the only way you could play.
That's how we did it for CS,
and
too.
It was
the same thing.
Terrible.
Dude, I loved it. Are you kidding me? Oh my god, it was my favorite.
Probably,
it was like,
nostalgia loved it.
Oh yeah. If I tried to use it now, I'd be like, this is a piece of crap. You
I
know?
Remember
like,
you'd have to lead the target because the lag compensation was so bad with Halo, but that's how you knew who was good, because you could lead the target.
Yeah.
But I remember Shadowrun. Shadowrun was this game ahead of its time. I would drop everything right now to play it, way ahead of its time, and we started getting into that competitively really early on. And some of the Halo pros started moving over. And I remember for a brief moment in time, I had Ogre 2 on my friends list. And we would scrim against his Shadowrun team.
I don't know who that is.
Just know that he is one of the best Halo pros
of all time.
Like on Final Boss.
Yeah.
Which is one of the best Halo teams of all time. And I had him on my friends list so we could scrim Shadowrun before. And that was a game ahead of its time. Never really cut off or took off. But my point was, it's because those games are always centralized with MLG. Like Counter-Strike, you had all these different leagues to host those
outlets
tournaments
to go into. And Cal was kind of the big one. I think that was really the main one back then was
everyone,
Cal.
Everyone for the console scene, man, MLG was intimidating, I think. And people were like, we don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
We don't want to touch the console scene, because I remember Rainbow Six had deals. I mean, we mentioned it before. Rainbow Six had maps that were MLG and that MLG designed, and Halo had game types, MLG game types.
I got to give you one last story, short, real quick. Funniest story that happened in a LAN. We used to go up to Land Shark in Plano, and it was cool because that's where the Texas Sharks played. They were like a pro CS team, and they were sponsored by Land Shark, so these guys would go practice up there. So me, Ronnie, and Kamar, we always used to drive up there and do these overnight lands where you pay like $30
right.
And you get to play all night and you could leave at like 6 in the morning or something like that, right? So one of the first times we went up there, there's like 30 PCs in this place, 30, 40 PCs, and the place was packed because they were hosting this, just like the best place to go because they had awesome computers back then and all these games that we couldn't afford because none of us were working. And so we go there, and around 3 or 4 a.m., it's like getting a little quiet. Everyone's like hype is kind of dying down a little bit, and some dude starts passing around porn. Next thing you knew, you had 40 dudes in a random LAN center, all looking at either JPEGs or watching like 20-second clips that were being passed around from hard drive to hard drive.
That was a staple for LANs, like QuakeCon. That's half the fun, was just exchanging pornography, and that was a.
Back when streaming wasn't capable. You wouldn't know.
That's how you got the good stuff, all right? You traded. I like Pokemon cards.
Dude, the value in those was like gold.
The one thing I remember with MLG Dallas when it was in, I think it was 05, was the very first one we went to. It smelled so bad. And I've always been kind of a hygiene guy, so I would always shout, no matter what. I'm like, dude, I can't go about my day. But it smelled so bad that you would smell all the way from like the conference ballroom that it was being held at. You would smell it in the lobby. It got to the point where they had to make an announcement over the loudspeaker to please go take a shower.
Like the scent of semen was so strong.
The hotel. Well, this wasn't even like a computer land, right? This was just competing. Yeah. But like the hotel itself was complaining like
please,
dude,
bathe.
This is awful. We can't breathe. And, like, you meet so many weird people at Lands. One of the dudes that we were staying with, first off, he could get us free Red Bull because he went, like, to the pro section and got us Red Bull.
It was all about balls back then.
Well, balls was good, too. Yeah. Still good. But he was really weird. He was, like, into licking his feet. He's a weird dude, man. Weird dude. And I remember, we don't even talk anymore because we all played Halo as a group. And one time, he got triggered.
You said his name was Donut?
No. No. I forget what his name was, but I just remember, man, being... There's some weird people at Lands.
Okay, so this is funny. Our fifth for our ringer at the CompUSA tournament was, like I said, a dude we met online.
But was he actually a ringer? Was he good?
Oh, no, he wasn't. Okay, no, he
wasn't
good.
I was going to say, our fillings
were
never good.
But he could play. Like,
good.
He knew the game.
If I could take my friends that I have now...
And, like, multiply
and
them?
And teleport them back in time.
Yeah.
I would get you and Donut and, like, all these guys that I knew have that competitive game sense. Because there is something to having game sense.
100%.
And like, not learning it.
If you don't want to learn the game, you're not going to ever be, like, master a game. No, so we took our final CompUSA picture. This dude, do you know the start at South Park episode where the WoW guy is, like, leaned back? He's got like a mullet.
Yeah.
Well, remember this. We're all like 15, 16-year-olds. This guy was like a 29, 30-year-old at the time, which is like my age now.
Facial hair.
But he was so overweight, and the dude had no hair. He might have even been 40. Who knows? But that was our fifth, and that was our first picture together at a LAN, holding up this little, like, I think it was like a $500 check that we got from them for getting second place. And, yeah.
That was, you know.
That was our lovely ringer.
One thing I looked up here, the MLG forums apparently are no more. Depressing. That's one regret that I always have. And maybe it's just victim of the times, you know, we didn't have cell phones that had HD full-on DSL cameras in front of them now.
Or like finding those pictures.
Well, yeah. I took no pictures from when we used to land at the house.
Who took a camera? No, I never took a camera.
No one took a camera at the time. And... I have like three pictures from our very first Rainbow where we competed in Rainbow, but not even like with the good team where we qualified to be pros or anything with.
Or we all are all posing together or something.
Yeah, like before, in front of the sign, I tweeted it out at, on my Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. I'll retweet it so everyone could see, but that's why I don't ever laugh at people who take just pictures of everything because they're like, you're never going to look at it. But look at here, you know? 12 years later, I wish I had those photos.
And it's nice because we have those memories to remember. That's why it's fun to kind of reminisce from time to time because you don't get to go back and look at, like...
And I think that's why I love going to DreamHack so much, you know, because...
Brings back that nostalgia.
Now it's us as adults, right? You know, my first LAN was probably when I was 13. I'm now 27. We get to go to DreamHack as adults, bring our PCs there, and we go right back to that mode where... Last DreamHack in Austin, and for those who have never been to Austin, Texas, it's a college town. It's the capital of the state. Literally a block over from the convention center is 6th Street, which is just one big party.
24/7.
24/7. We took advantage of it the first time going. But
Tim got introduced to, who was that? The floor? The bathroom floor?
Yeah, we were good friends that night.
Really good friends.
Kept it cool.
Kept you warm.
Kept it cool in my time of need. But... Even, like, so when we first there, it was kind of a bachelor party for me, so we went to DreamHack. We didn't bring our PCs. We just went there to go experience it, right? Last year, we brought our PCs, and Friday and Saturday night, we looked at each other, and we were like, do you guys want to go to 6th Street? No. Just kind of want to play video games.
Let's just play.
And it was great.
Oh, my gosh.
It brought back the innocence of just, no, I just want to play video games with my friends. I want to compete.
DreamHack, if you're listening, we're like really waiting on this Austin show
date.
Like, don't.
What is DreamHack?
Don't ruin
doing,
this.
Man.
Don't ruin this
you're
for
gonna
us.
Ruin our friendships.
No, that really is. That's one of these LAN events, like you said, they bring back so many good memories, and it's such a good time. And even when we have shitty moments like we had with the CS match, like
where we sucked,
you enjoy,
we got dominated.
99% of everything else you're doing.
The music was loud, the music was terrible, but you still, it's the memories, Anuj.
I'm excited.
Let's say this to our listeners, too. The reason we talked about this is because we're reminiscing of the olden days. But we're still in the good days, right, with LANs. That's the beauty of them. Whether you are a young listener, find a group of friends that you trust. Don't go in any white vans that say LAN parties.
And don't use the online forums to find friends anymore. That was only good when there weren't predators everywhere.
Right. Go to LAN parties. They're awesome. And if you're older and never been to one, it's not too late. You get your friends. And you know what? Maybe even find your online friends that you've been friends with for so long. One of my best friends, Donut, I met when I was like 12.
He's now like a friend of everybody in the group at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know him. You play games without me as a bridge there, right? Yeah. We've met through playing Rainbow Six and Halo, and now he goes to all these lands with us. So, I mean, it's...
My parents used to like not like it too that I played so many video games. Like I would get in trouble for that,
you know,
a lot. And they used to say like, "Hey, you know, this is not like..." Even my wife from time to time will tell me like, "This is not hanging out with friends, right?"
Oh yes,
like,
our wives. This is not... Our wives always have that chuckle with each other.
Like, if I say I'm going to hang out with my friends,
they say that he hangs out with the nudes, and I'm like, yeah.
"I'm hanging out with him. Like this is how we enjoy it." So don't take that BS. Enjoy it. Those are some of the best memories I have, you know, from growing up, are some of these lands that we did. Obviously, have your outside life as well. Don't be stuck in a closet here.
Don't be a weirdo.
You know, be weirdo.
Cool, all right?
But
pick up chicks.
Enjoy it, because those memories, like, seriously do last a lifetime.
Yeah, and, I mean, you'll create friendships.
Yeah.
And that's how you stay friends, man. It's awesome.
Damn. We have a land coming up in a couple weeks, dude.
Right?
Maybe we'll just bring you to the house. Just
maybe I'll bring my PC over. I wasn't planning on it, but for Destiny 2, we were going to have a land.
Destiny would make four players for content, those Chuckies.
Well, they got multiplayer.
Just PvP.
Yeah, still. That's all we got to do for a land.
That is true.
All right, good times, man. I can't wait for the next land coming up, whenever that may be.
Send us your pictures. Tweet us any pictures you
have.
If you have stuff,
like,
just share
it. If you go to tcr.gg on the bottom of our website, there's a contact email. I would love to hear land stories from listeners.
We'll tweet them out. And we talked about this before the show. If you're a local, you know, land center, and you want us to throw out a tournament name or something, we've had some bad luck with this at times too, but we'll give it a chance. You know, like we'll say it out, and if you want to promote it, we'll gladly do that for you. Because, like I said, we are
in the DFW area. But even then, if wherever you're at, if you're in Detroit, New York, if you're a local land man, let us know.
We probably have about one listener per state, so your word will get out. You'll have somebody attend. So yeah, throw it our way if you're interested.
That's where the roots of esports. Anuj started.
Need that now. Still need those lands, man.
Yeah, that's how it. That's where the fun is at.
That's where you learn to become toxic, and that's an important, valuable thing in esports.
Gotta talk smack, man. All right, let's get into some e news before all this wraps up. Actually, quite a bit of e news going on here.
A lot.
CS:GO, FaZe defeated Astralis in the E-League Premier Finals 2-0. Anyone who thought that was going to end any differently when that finals is a dum-dum.
Astralis still should have won the first map.
Should have, but they didn't, because FaZe is absolutely
monster,
ridiculous.
Dude. They haven't lost 15 maps in a row. That's, like, unheard of.
Right.
Better than the Fnatic run, you think? You think they will...
I think they will overshadow Fnatic, considering they look at who they have on their team.
Do you put as much... Okay, like, do you look at it like the Warriors? Like, I feel like there's something, you know... When you get five all-stars together, to me, it takes away a little something from the growing through the org.
I mean, of course it does. Of course. One other team, though, that does not have five all-stars, the new Immortals, which is no longer Immortals, KNG, FNX, Henny, Lucas1, and Bit1, former CSGO team, currently no org.
They have a major spot.
But they do have a major spot. I could go on a rant, but the e-news is not for ranting. I think it's ridiculous that the organizations don't own those major spots and the players do. But that's just my opinion, and it's not a popular one. But I think it's a little silly. Seized ended up stepping down from Na'Vi's active roster. The rumor is Electronic is going to fill in kind of full-time for now.
At some point.
Right.
He's not filling in for these next upcoming tournaments. They have another fill-in, because that hasn't been finalized. But yeah, that has been the long-mentioned rumor at this point, too. Like, before, when they were dropping
they've been playing
Zeus
rough.
And all
they,
that.
They
so.
Got to do something. And last thing here for IEM Oakland. The groups and format was announced for IEM Oakland. Group A, and this is a round robin. Which
Cloud9 always gets the easier group, just so you know. And they always get put into a group.
Always SK,
and
though.
Always NiP and SK.
SK.
Like, I feel like NiP's been in every one of their groups.
So they have Cloud9, SK, NiP, Astralis, Mongols, and Envious.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent group. And then Group B, not... Well, okay, no. It's pretty easy.
Pretty tough group.
Group B?
I think there's an obvious favorite, but I think as a whole, that's as...
Well, you have Immortals, which is not the Immortals that we know.
G2.
Optic Gaming, which is all of a sudden an EU team that they're calling.
So they're automatically good.
Right. G2, Liquid, Gambit, and FaZe. So that's pretty cool there. I think one of the cool things with this, though, the way they're doing their overtime, did you see they're doing the new overtime format for this?
No.
So the group stage format will be best of one round robin, and then the overtime system is if a match ends in overtime, the winner receives 2 points while the loser receives 1 point.
How many do you get for a normal win?
Oh.
Three? You get 3 points for a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so the loser gets a point, kind of like hockey a little bit,
right?
In that sense.
So it's kind of cool where it could add more drama. If
last thing about CS that we didn't add in here, Dust 2 is about to be back into the rotation. It's not in the rotation yet, but it was officially released off the beta onto the live servers today, so if you enjoy Counter-Strike, go check that out. But yeah, that map has gone live, and it's revamped, and we'll see it back in the map pool, which I'm pretty happy about.
Yeah, it's been a while. Maybe we'll talk about next week about why I haven't played Counter-Strike in like 3 months.
But, yeah,
we'll get to that a little later. In Dota, Star Ladder Season 3 or League 3, whatever the hell you want to call it, that ended up finishing up. Team Liquid ended up not only defending their Season 2 standings, but also proved on why they won the Major, because they just kind of dominated this entire tournament.
These guys are getting paid, man.
Look at those prize pools, dude. It's a bit insane. Surprising here, though, where Newbie and VC Gaming, the two Chinese teams in here, ended up getting last place. They ended up getting 7th and 8th. Kind of uncharacteristic of them. In Overwatch, another team has been officially announced, and it's just as underwhelming as the others. The San Francisco Shock.
Lovely. NBA team.
NBA team, of course. Get that right. Respect.
I guess Shockwave, Earthquake.
I get it.
It's just very unoriginal. At the end of the day, I mean, these names are...
They're all going to be like that, though. They're going safe.
They're trying to go franchise names.
It's whatever.
Unrelated Overwatch
news. I don't know
news.
What I want, but they're just still underwhelming.
Because Immortals got the Overwatch League spot... They did not get the NALCS spot, yep. And that went to Echo Fox. And so,
is that why they're saying?
They're saying that. I mean, so they also came out and said like they were worried about their finances. But if you're getting into Overwatch League, you probably don't have financial concerns. I don't think Overwatch League would take you.
The first one there.
Yeah.
In Rocket League, some good Rocket League action was going on. The EU and North American finalists are going here. We have who's going to be for the. I guess the final tournament, whatever you want to call it, their world tournament. You have Cloud9 and Ghost Gaming that qualified for the NA side, and Gale Force and Method ended up qualifying for EU. You have the Oceanic teams, they're competing here on the 29th.
Did you put this in E-News because Cloud9 got number one?
No, that was just coincidental. I was actually busy watching the PSG match. I forgot who they beat, but man... Those pro Rocket League players.
Dude, watching Neymar go around the field like that was incredible.
They are a lot better at it than me. Well, you got PSG. That's it's pretty cool to see.
No, it is. It is. To see them as like an actual team too.
To see like a real sporting team show up. That's kind of cool. In other E! News, and then we will send this show off to bed. Adidas is suing E-League. According to Adidas... They have trademark on the brand with three stripes.
Just so y'all know, this is super common. Anything with three stripes, like Adidas is a huge brand, so they're going to have a case here, but anything with three stripes...
E-League is not going to have to change their logo. Adidas basically just wants E-League to not infringe on the brand of Adidas. Like, don't get any ideas here. We have more money. And we're bigger.
And Adidas is just too massive. Like you're you don't want to go up against. But this is like super common. I don't think anything. End result, you won't know what happens here.
No, you won't. Yeah, exactly. You won't know the end results because you won't care after that. And then you have some COD, Call of Duty news.
Oh yeah, so it looks like Nadeshot is going to be forming a team.
I wonder why. Is it just because?
You know what? A lot of people are excited for, I think, just boots on the ground. I think there's
been
a lot of...
They don't like the non-futuristic. It's going back to the original kind of Call of Duty
style.
Part
of it is Nadeshot also started his own apparel line, like 100 Thieves. He's been streaming a ton.
This is a brand thing.
And what you don't know, like if you're not in the scene for COD, these guys do like...
You want to know my hot opinion on that?
On...
100 Thieves?
Yeah.
Dumb name.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, whatever. It's just it's a name, right? I really don't care too much about the names. The branding is cool, sure, whatever. But I'm not repping any 100 Thieves stuff right now, at least. Not yet.
Not yet. But wait till you meet him in person, and then you'll show up with a shirt the next day.
Dude, I got a couple boxer shirts in my house already. Nade, Parasite, along with Pharaoh and Blazed. Kind of see what happens there. But yeah, it could be interesting. Cool to see him come back into the scene.
He's an OG.
He is an OG. So if he wants to come back.
One of the original guys who helped make Optic Gaming on what they are.
Yeah, and dude's like a content creator and stuff now. He puts out some good stuff. So be cool. If he comes back, sure, why not? A big name into the scene never is going to hurt anyone. And he's got a huge following. So again, that's good for COD too.
Indeed it is. A few shout outs before I say goodbye. Shout out to the listener who told me to get the Hum X to help with a little bit of the background fuzz. Hopefully it sounded better. If this episode sounded better.
I think it sounds great.
Thank you to the listener who kind of keeps in touch and helps me out with that. And also, I'll start putting more episodes on YouTube, and everyone can thank David versus Goliath on YouTube for that.
We'll catch up there.
The one listener who commented saying, hey, I actually prefer YouTube over iTunes. Could you start putting things up?
We didn't see too much return on it, but if one of y'all is listening.
If I know one person actually prefers it, then I'll do it.
That makes me happy.
I hate YouTube.
We'll get them up there.
I hate video, but I will do it for you.
We're going to be streaming episodes soon, so we'll make more of an announcement on that coming up.
Exactly. Again, this was episode 78 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR. I hope you enjoyed it. I know we did. It was awesome going down memory lane with you, Anuj.
You too, Tim. That was fun.
We should do it again sometime.
Every once in a while, change it up.
Some old memories. Again, our website is tcr.gg. Our Twitter, at The Center Ring. If you have good LAN stories or pictures or anything like that, please send us them. I would love to see them. For Anuj, I'm Tim. This is TCR.